Hey, that's just dads who try, dog. That's just dads who try. Team no sleep, baby. Dads who try.
All right, we're back with another episode. Episode number 32, Tommy.
You know, 32 was a special one.
The episode or the year?
The
1932?
No, 32 just being me being 32.
You are 32 right now.
No, and just turned 33.
Sorry, you're right. January 9th.
But I will say the lessons in the year of 32. Does that make sense? Actually,
yeah.
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you're following. You're tracking. 30s,
yeah, absolutely.
This year has been the most challenging yet
of your adult life.
Of my adult life.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do when you have setbacks? What do you do when you have, like, stuff that you just never realized that you thought would ever happen, and then it happened, and then how do you deal with it? I think this year, I'm so grateful for friends, for family, and for health. Bro, it's just taught me a year of just being, again, hey, I'm thankful for the things I do have.
That's right. You know what else I'm thankful for?
What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for all of the people, all the dads-to-be, all of the moms, the wives out there who tune into our podcast, and thankful for all the reviews. We just want to say shout out to everyone who reviews, who gives us 5 stars. If you give us 4 stars, we totally understand. Maybe this isn't your flavor. If you give us 3 stars, then stop listening. Like, dude, what?
Yeah, if you're giving us 3 stars, we don't want you.
Go back and listen to whatever other podcast. I'm kidding. We're kidding. We're thankful for every listener.
Listen, if you were giving us 3 stars, maybe like episode 1 through 5, I get it.
Yeah, okay,
like,
truly.
You know, like, I don't even want to go back because there's probably a lot of cringy stuff that was sound, all that stuff. We're learning.
Yeah.
But if you're giving us a 3-star now, I'm going to find you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just tell you you're not nice.
We're here, and we're in Los Angeles. We are recording out of a hotel room.
Yeah.
Because our studio, unfortunately, it flooded. And so we're still trying to figure out the best way to move forward in the studio and how to make it a space that we can continue to record in.
Yeah. It feels great to obviously be doing this. I feel like through this podcast night, we've met and connected with a lot of cool dads.
A ton.
You know, people from all over the country, all over the world, really.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, having new friends is always a great thing.
Yeah. So thankful for all of our friends, everyone we've met through here. I can't wait to see, you know, we're only 30 episodes in.
Yeah.
And really, we've only been doing this for about 7 months now. Really 6 months now.
Yeah, that's right.
And I can't wait to see what 2023 holds for Dads Who Try.
Yeah. The one thing that I'm not like looking really that can just stop in general.
Wrinkles?
Wrinkles and rain.
Ooh.
Yeah. Good old like, look, listen.
Mine is the studio flooding. I actually like it.
Yeah, because you're from Seattle.
It's true.
You've been around that stuff your whole life. I was actually just talking to a friend recently who lived in Tacoma for like 3 years.
Stop.
Like not too long ago. And he was saying how depressing.
What's his name?
I'm not airing out his name and
come on,
putting his info out there like that. But he told me though that despite the hikes, you know, that was great. Obviously in the coffee.
Yes.
Everything else was, he just could not get used to it. He was like, it was just too sad for me.
Yeah. And look, I love Tacoma, one of my favorite places in the world. But if you're a first time Northwest visitor, you got to go into a little better of a market. You got to go to Seattle, Bellevue, you know, that area.
Yeah.
Don't go into Tacoma. They got a giant paper mill. It smells like doo-doo. It's called the Aroma of Tacoma. Shout out to the 253.
The 253.
Hey.
Do you still have the same number?
I do. 253-970. No.
No, but you have the same number since you've gotten your phone in general.
Yes. I switched it in, I think, when I was like a junior in high school.
Yeah.
I switched it when I got my iPhone. I switched from Sprint PCS to AT&T, got a new number, and I've had it since.
Yeah. And once you land on the iPhone, you're like, I'm never going back.
Yeah, I don't see the path to going back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see that. You know what else we have going on here?
What's going on here?
This is not a sponsor, but I just want to give a shout out to Stanley.
Stanley the cup?
Stanley the cup, the thermos. Look, Stanley has had a comeback like none other.
Yeah.
I'm drinking from this thing, and it's like it's basically a giant cup.
It's a growler.
Yeah, it is 40 ounces of water hydration, and it says on the cup since 1913.
That's a long time.
And I feel like Stanley was kind of like, you know, a Northwest thing, or maybe like even Michigan, maybe like, you know, just kind of like in the colder areas.
Yeah.
And now you see all these hipster Gen Zers running around with some Stanley cups. And so
I don't understand. Like, I don't get stuff like this.
You ever drink water out of a straw?
Yeah.
I thought, well, first I'll just say this. I'll affirm all of us. No one can look cool drinking out of a straw. No one. Especially if you're trying to talk to someone or you're trying to watch someone. You bend down trying to find the straw. You can't find it.
Yeah. I get the...
I didn't understand the hype, and then I got one.
Yeah.
And I'll just say I've been happily hydrated. About a gallon a day.
Yeah, but how long will it last?
Since 1913.
No, how long will
Tommy
this
says
phase,
since 1913.
How long will this phase last?
Oh, this is not health is not a phase for me.
Well, listen, I think that there's so many different things that have came out similar to this.
Name one.
The Camel Packs. Camelbacks?
Like, that's the wrong camel one to choose packs. Because I rocked a Camelback for
how long?
2 decades.
Okay.
20 years.
20 years. All right. Yes. And when did you stop using it?
When I moved to a state that didn't have a hike near me for 4 hours.
LA.
Yes. And so I had to transition my hydration station.
And
I went from Camelback to Stanley Front.
So, but you just picked up this recently.
I've had a hydro flask that I've used for a long time.
Yes. The one with the like 1,000 stickers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm used to carrying a bottle around. What I didn't like about it is that little flip straw on top gets
a little
nasty.
Ew.
Yeah, it's gross. Can't clean it right. And so this straw, look at take it out. Easy. Look at that. Anyway, shout out to Stanley. Not a sponsor, but we'll take it if you want it.
Yeah, shout out to Celsius too.
Yep, you guys, we have all sorts of treats here.
We do.
We got Celsius. Look, we're just trying to be the best dads we can.
Yeah, when we're trying to stay hydrated, and health is wealth.
I will say this, in fatherhood, and I don't know if it gets talked about enough, or if it gets talked about, it's like shoved down your throat. You know, it's like when we were starting Dads Who Try, we kind of like did a quick audit of the dad space. You know, what type of dad content out there? And then the number one hashtag was Dads Who Lift. It's like a whole community. Hey, guys, we're dads committed to our health because when we're 80, we want to be better dads than when we're 40. Dads Who Lift. And it's like, cool, I want to lift. That's cool.
Yeah, but I also don't want to be wearing a tank top to the grocery store when I'm like 60, bro, showing my freaking chest and nipple and stuff. Like,
yo,
dude, there's
tank top ripped all the way down to the side still. It originally started as a t-shirt. It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah, like, I understand the whole, you know, like the dad game and being in the gym and whatnot, but it can't just be about that.
Yeah, you know, we didn't find a ton of accounts that was just like, hey, let's talk about true, relatable content and about holistic health.
Yep.
It was either like, you know, you're a dad who lifts and you can lift the Ford F-150 that rolled over off of your family with one arm, you know, or it's like, hey, you're a super effeminate dad who stays at home. It's like, wait, I'm neither of those things.
Yeah.
I think I'm just a normal dad who tries.
Yeah. And that's all we're asking.
But it's I wish I could lift a truck off off the ground.
Do you have, since it's still the beginning of the year, do you have any, like, what am I thinking for, New Year's resolutions?
I want to consume 50 books this year.
50 books, so what's that, 2 books a month?
No.
Or sorry.
That's about a book a week.
That's a lot of books.
It's a lot of books.
Yeah. Are you on track?
I'm on my third book, and yep, I'm on track.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Now, for that reason, do you find it that audiobook's a little bit easier.
Yeah, audiobooks are definitely easier. So I'm trying to read a physical book, mm-hmm. and at the same time, an audio.
Same book. Time.
Yep. That's not audio in my ears while I'm reading a book, but when I'm in the gym, yep. I'm listening. And then every day in the morning or at night, I try to get 10, 15 pages in.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having those kind of disciplines, I think, just not only keeps you sharp, but it keeps you ahead.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. It's probably my personality, but I get bored if I don't have a mountain to climb.
Yeah.
If I don't have something to, you know, figure out or conquer or overcome. And so, you know, I feel like reading 50 books is absolutely ridiculous, you know, to be honest. That is not a normal thing to do.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's like, I really want to be committed to gain more understanding, more perspective. I want to become more empathetic, and mm-hmm. I want to kind of understand the world I live in a little bit more. And so, whenever I read, I feel like I'm, it's like a small overcoming of knowledge or overcoming of perspective. And so, you know, I don't know about you, but I've had books change my life.
Yeah.
And you don't really know, which books are going to do that. Sometimes you do, you know, okay, I know this book just by the cover. I judged it and I'm like, this one's going to change my life.
What book would you say probably has marked you the most? Like right now, you can just tell it changed the way that you view things.
Probably the most recent one. There's a book called, I'll give you two, and they are almost exactly the opposite of each other. Okay. The first one, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry.
Yeah.
By John Mark Comer. And, dads, you need to read this book. We're faith guys. We're both Christians, so that's our worldview.
Yeah.
But regardless of your worldview, I think eliminating hurry in your life, eliminating the need to hustle and grind and getting rid of the rejection of rest. I think we're all best when we're at rest. You know, this book kind of opened up my eyes to the value of that.
Yeah.
And how not to live a lazy life, but to live a rested life. It's really important.
That's so good.
Especially as a dad.
Right.
You know, stop getting as angry, stop being as impatient. You know, it's like you figure out what rest is, and it seems impossible as a dad. But when this book kind of helped me open up my eyes to find rest in ways I didn't know it could exist. I used to think it was just sleep.
Yeah.
But it's more than that. And it's, anyways. And then the other one, almost the exact opposite, Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. I just finished up his new book.
Yeah.
That was the first book I read this year. And it is the literal exact opposite.
Game changer.
Of Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. In the sense, if that one book is about mindfulness and rest and meditation, David Goggins' book is like, get up, get out. There's no excuses for conquering life.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if you can find a balance between those two things, those two books have really, dude, this guy, David Goggins, went through Navy SEAL training with two broken legs. He just duct taped his legs.
No.
This guy, he runs a 240-mile ultra race in 72 hours. Finishes it in 66 hours. And then right after that, on the way home, he's like, here's another race. And it's a 50-mile something race. And he finishes that on the way home. You know, just has a quick little
stop
jog, you know. And then he gets home, finds out about this other race across this 180-mile race across Florida. You have 48 hours to accomplish 180 miles.
And he doesn't take a rest.
I mean, his rest is a few days. All with insane injuries that, you know, it helps me realize that what I think is my limit
is not.
Is nowhere close to it.
Yeah.
And it makes me think, dude, when I feel like quitting, I have so much legitimately probably another 60% to give. You know, he I don't know if it was research based. It might have been anecdotal. But in the book, he's like, most humans quit at 40%.
Sheesh.
Because that's when it gets hard.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that around 60%, your body kicks in some dopamine and you're able to fire again. But he's like, most people quit between 40 and 60%. You have 60% more to give. And you gave up because you're being a little.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think those two books, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, John Mark Comer, and Can't Hurt Me. And then his newest book is called Never Finished.
Yeah.
That was really good.
You know, it's that I really like that thought. When we start feeling things like when we start facing things that are difficult or things that are hard, we feel like, you know, it could be the wrong thing or it could be like the, you know, oh, I'm good. You know, my body's kind of giving up or, you know, this is kind of like I'm hitting a wall. So I must be, you know, this is all I have left in the tank. What if the next time we do something hard, we just say, hey, that's actually another starting point.
Right.
You know, like how much could that really change the trajectory of the goals that you're trying to accomplish and finish? You know, I'm like thinking all the stuff that I feel like that are hard for me. You know, even in the gym the other day, like I hadn't lifted in a while. I went back and I'm like lifting, you know, some of the normal weights I would normally try. And I was like, man, this is tough.
Bro, I have a funny story for you. How it is.
and I'm pushing these weights and I've, you know, I get through them, but I'm like, dude, there's moments I'm just like, I'm done. Like my arms are gone. And I wonder if it's just because over time I've told myself, you know, physically or what you, cause I think if you tell some, if you tell your mind something enough, you'll start to believe it.
Yeah, totally.
And what is the breaking, like, how do you break that lid?
And you literally break through, like, yeah, you go, man, this is my limit. And then you go, nah.
But there's another layer.
Talk about some anime stuff going on. I have to break my limits. Super Saiyan.
Don't give me juice on that stuff right now. This is not the one.
Okay, so since January 1st, I've been trying to get 10,000 steps a day.
Mm-hmm.
And to the best of my ability, I've been trying to make those steps running or exercise steps.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, you know, the first, I think, 10 days, I was doing 10,000 steps. And I never stretched, not one time. And, you know, which isn't a big deal for some people, but... You know, I've never been a good runner.
Yep.
I hate it.
It's hard.
Now, I crave going into the gym and running or running outside, which sounds insane to me to say aloud. But I go and I'm like, okay, it's leg day. I'm going to go put up some weights. And so I go over to the bar and I just do some bar squats.
Yep.
Just kind of stretch, you know, loosen up a little bit. And I feel tight. I'm like, oh, it's weird. I feel like the range of motion is a little bit difficult. And so, you know, I put 45s on the side and I go down and I'm like, okay, this doesn't feel heavy, but it doesn't, if like there's something weird feeling going on. And so then I put on 25s on top of the 45s and then eventually I put another, you know, set of 45s on. So two 45s on either side.
Let's go.
And I'm like, you know, this should be, this weight is chill for me.
Yeah.
This is an easy weight for me. But I go down and I realize my hamstrings are so tight, bro, that I haven't stretched.
Yeah.
My first rep, I go down and I'm like, okay, I feel good. And as soon as I try to go up, both hamstrings cramp.
No.
Oh! Oh! Throw the bar back. Like I literally throw it.
Yeah.
You know, on my adrenaline goes, throw it back on the rack, fall down, hold up my hamstring, was like, ah.
Dude, you dropped.
I dropped, bro.
Did people come around?
No, it's like 5:15 in the morning. There's no one in the gym yet, bro. Praise God. It was one of those safety racks, too. So, like, even if I didn't rack it, it would have caught it.
Yep.
You know, like, they have, like, the long bars if you want to do deadlifts and stuff, but... I was like, man, it reminded me of the importance of stretching in my life. I had a chance to talk to, you know, in my job, I get a really cool opportunity to be able to lead some, like, incredible people, you know? And one of them was telling me, they're like, you know, they're like, I'm having a hard time. It just feels like every day is, you know, difficult. And, you know, a few months ago, it didn't feel like this, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is what capacity feels like when it grows. When you're given more responsibility, you can either shrink or you can stretch.
Yep.
And if you can stretch, then your capacity will never go back to the, you know, you'll be able to hold that capacity for a long time. You know,
yeah.
It's like a balloon. I was like, if you're blowing up a balloon, the amount of breath it takes
right.
to fill that balloon, it's going to wear you out, you know, right. as it goes, as it stretches. That's what your capacity is like. And then when it deflates, now you can hold more than you did before. And so now you put a little, you know, you put as much as you did before. It's an easy capacity to handle now. Where before it's like, man, I thought the thing was going to burst me.
Yeah.
You know? And that's fatherhood. It's like, dude, I remember when I had River, you know, it was like, man, fatherhood's so rough, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have two kids.
Yep.
And you go, wait a second.
I've done this before.
Well, I thought having one kid was rough.
Yeah.
Now one kid is a breeze.
Yeah.
You know? And you realize, wow, I've grown, my capacity's grown. And I think as dads, if we can be just committed to putting ourselves into stretching positions,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to get to the bar of life.
Yeah.
Throw on some 45s and cramp up. It's like, yeah. But I think it's like, dude, if it's hard, it's a good sign.
Yeah. We should, you know.
Do hard things.
Yes. I was legitimately just going to say that. We ought to commit to doing hard things this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're so, because doing hard things is so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't think we want uncomfortable at times. We just want to kind of graze by, do the thing, you know, clock in, clock out, check in, check out, and, you know, and just be okay. But I do think, like, I'm not saying that everything has to be difficult and hard. That's not what I'm saying here.
But
I am saying that when it comes to you, especially in parenthood and in fatherhood, you know, there are going to be challenging days.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to just realize, hey, I am made for this thing.
Yep.
I'm made to do this. I'm called to be a dad. I'm a good father, and I'm going to get through it, whether I'm having to fake and put on a smile for a little bit, whatever you got to do.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yep, absolutely. And look, we're not saying you should add a bunch of stuff onto your life, especially if you're a new dad. That is the thing that's going to stretch you right now.
Yeah.
We're not saying like, hey, you just had a newborn, now go run a marathon next week.
Exactly.
But I think we got to embrace the suck. Embrace those moments. Not only does it grow us, but it gives us perspective for those good moments.
Yeah.
Not to take for granted.
And hard things aren't always wrong.
They're rarely wrong.
Yeah. It's, well, because I think sometimes we
everything good in your life is difficult to get.
Right.
Everything.
Right. Yeah. If it's, you know what? Could we even say if it's easy, it's probably not the right thing?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
80% of the time.
I think that's a good, yeah.
I'm just saying.
Some things are going to come to you easy because you've been used to hard things.
That's it. That's the best way to put it.
Right? And it's like, but you earned that thing to be easy.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
Right,
it's like,
right.
It's like, dude, I used to struggle putting up a bar on the bench press.
Yeah.
You know, now that bar's easy. But right. I grew. I earned that bar. You know, now if I put 4 45s on either side of the bar, that's hard for me, but it's doable.
Yeah.
You know, that's easy.
And hard things aren't always going to be the long thing either. Like,
bro, you can't say that.
When I said it, I'm like, oh God, people are going to for sure think, what am I talking about here?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, man. Like
the hard things can be short.
Yeah.
And they're just as usable.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just as satisfying.
But doing hard things, you know, doesn't mean that it's going to last forever in your entire life. You know, I think it can be a growing season if you allow it to.
And
I think that's something that we all can walk away with and knowing that, you know, because I used to think, bro, like when I would face challenges, I'm like, oh God, I'm paying for the consequences or something. Or, this has to be the wrong thing. There has to be some other way.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, no, like you need to face it, dude. And you need to grow from this. You need to learn from it. And then guess what? Walk away, like, you know, knowing that, like, this is, like, some stuff in your life doesn't always come easy.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, it was built into our DNA for growing to be painful.
Yeah.
You know, you and I, we're not tall men. I'm 5'8". You're
5'8".
Yep, 5'8". You know, so our growing pain season probably wasn't very long, but I had, I had severe growing pains for like a week of my life.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if our bodies have pain when it grows,
right,
we should probably, our emotions do too. Our minds are going to face that as well. Yeah. So don't give up when it gets hard. Press in a little bit farther, you know, go the extra mile. I'm convinced that what we think is going to break us won't break us. Our bodies are meant to be flexible.
Yeah.
You know, to bend us into stronger places.
Yeah.
So many innuendos we could be using, and we're not, because we're mature dads.
We are mature dads. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we're super mature dads. We love to do hard things. Bro.
Cheers. Yeah.
Even when it's long.
Even when it's long.
If it's... Oh my gosh. What a time.
What a time to be alive.
Tommy.
Yeah.
We just, right before this podcast, we looked at this joke. We saw the Joe Rogan clip. Shout out to Joe Rogan. You know, we call him Joe here on the podcast. We're really close. He's a podcaster, so are we. So, you know,
we have some similar things in common. You know, we kind of do similar work. So, yeah, we try to reach out, and he never responds.
Yeah,
back,
you know.
But, you know, we talk to him all the time.
Spotify tried to acquire us for $2
billion. Yeah, it's crazy.
Double his. So we said no.
We said no, of course.
Yeah, we got to be authentic.
We would never take $2 billion. We're not selling out.
Yeah, we're not. That much, yeah, money. No, we're not. No,
life changing money that could change everything.
No, honestly, it
wouldn't change everything
because we like to do things. Hard things.
Yes,
that's the easy route.
Yeah,
yeah. So, well, we were watching Joe Rogan, and this guy popped up on the screen, and he's like, you know, they're cloning woolly mammoths right now.
Yeah, like
100. They're cloning 100 woolly mammoths
in Siberia.
In Siberia.
Yeah.
Reintroducing megafauna back into the tundra.
Like, what?
Is this the beginning of the end?
I feel like it is. I mean, there's UFOs, there's woolly mammoths. We might as well start with dinosaurs next. I mean, they've already been starting on dinosaurs. Let's just be real.
With COVID.
Yep.
Right? Okay, we've seen this movie called Contagion. Yep, end of the world stuff. Woolly mammoths being cloned. Yep, we've seen Jurassic Park. We know how that thing ends.
Yep.
Yep. We've seen the World War III, you know, nukes going around into the world stuff.
Yep.
That's possible. They just were trying to replicate a micro black hole in Europe. And so that could be crazy. If a micro black hole turned into a normal one and just swallowed up our galaxy.
I just don't understand the logic behind recreating something that could swallow the whole galaxy.
It's like what, wild.
Like, why don't we just put some good energy out in the atmosphere and just continue to enjoy?
That's what I was going to say. The opposite of a black hole, here in Southern California, they shot some lasers together and created a micro sun the size of the point of a pin top, and so that's cool, you know, a micro sun that could turn into a normal sun and burn our entire solar system. That's really cool.
Would you rather be like have the world be burned up, or would you rather just be sucked up one time?
Oh, dude, send me in that black hole. What's on the other side? I gotta know. Is it a white hole on the other side? Like, does it shoot me out like a wormhole?
Yeah.
Am I time traveling?
I think the best scenario for all this stuff would be sucked into a black hole and then us being transported into that new, they said that they found a new, like...
Inhabitable planet. Yeah.
Planet that could, like, literally be the same as Earth. And so I think...
By the way, I'm not going there.
Yeah, you're not going there.
Nah.
But if we were to go there... You know, after we get sucked into the black hole, I would go there and I would start all over again.
Can I tell you, can I be completely honest?
I would actually be paying really less for property.
A lot less, yes.
Probably $100. You get some crazy square footage on there.
Like, we assume that of the whole planet's new currency is the U.S. dollar. You know, there's already aliens there, dude. Okay, listen. This is the thing I do. Every time I go into a new room that I've never been in, I, like, look at the exits and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't do, like, you know, oh, man, if there's a shooter.
Yeah.
I go, like, if there's a zombie outbreak. Like, my mind automatically does, like, how strong is the door? Can I get out the window?
Yeah.
You know, is it a defensible? Is that weird?
No, I don't think it's weird.
Do you do that?
I do that whenever I watch, like, crazy movies that makes me think, like, the world's going to end.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, like, what am I going to do? Is this when I start, like, trying to build, like, a secret bunker? I kind of, disappear for, like, 3 years, really work on some crazy projects, and then you just, you know, show up one day again, and then, you know, looking like Rambo, and then I'm ready for whatever comes next.
Like, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we get the thing on our phone. This is a, you know, state of emergency broadcast. Zombies have invaded or whatever, right? Yep. And we find out we have an hour and a half before
it all goes down.
Yep. Yeah. What are you doing in that hour and a half? You're here right now in this hotel room.
Shoot.
We're dying.
Yeah, we're probably going to die. But before I do, I'll probably, because we're in Marina Del Rey, I'll probably go to Beverly Hills and probably find me a chicken sandwich from Honor Bar. And then pack a couple of those in my bag. Start rolling out.
Oh, I thought you were going to say last supper. I'm just going to sit at the bar until the thing rolls in.
No, dude. I'm going to try to live. For sure I'm fighting. I'll hit the Honor Bar, pack me a couple of sandwiches in my backpack, and then I'll like go to a gun shop or something and try to...
A gun shop? We're in Los Angeles, bro.
Dude, I'll find something. Trust me.
The gun shops here are on the corners, not in a brick and mortar.
I'm texting some people. I'm gonna get something. I'm just not going down. But you know what movie makes me think about, like, when we're talking about all this? Do you remember that movie? I can't remember if it's called The Day After Tomorrow or is it 2012?
Both of them are
like end of the world type
weather stuff. Based. Yeah, end of the world scenarios.
But the 2012 one, or is the one
Day After Tomorrow was where everything freezes?
Yeah. No. So it's not that.
Okay.
The one where the wave, earthquake.
Yeah.
The earth is like flooded again.
Yep. And the poles switch.
Yep.
Yeah.
And these guys are in like those huge
boats
at the end.
Yeah.
Dude, like I don't know what I would do. Like, bro,
dying.
Yeah. But the thing that would scare me the most, I know it probably won't ever happen again, is if the world, like if the earth ever got like that, the whole earth at the same time get flooded like that.
Yeah,
just think about how crazy we're gone.
Yes,
like freaking LA bus just hit me one time, please. Like I'm good. I don't want to face all this stuff. I don't want to drown, dude. Like thinking that like I'm having to be in the water with sharks and gosh, I'm like
you're nervous. Thinking. Last thing you're thinking, the first thing you're thinking about is sharks. Bro, if that happens,
yeah, I just don't want to get tore out.
You're thinking a tidal wave's gonna come and a shark's gonna be in that wave, going like, Tommy, I'm about to,
dude.
Here we go,
like
tidal wave, shark attack.
Like just knock me out, like somewhere where it's like surprising and I don't really want to feel it. Just gone, boom, bop, he's gone. Hey Jesus, let's see how this all plays out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, probably the worst, one of the worst ways to go.
Yeah.
Is drowning. That's got to be the one of the worst. Dang, this thing just took a morbid turn for the worst.
For the worst. Like, we're not drowning.
Like, in my mind, I always survive these scenarios. But, like, I've already determined my family won't.
You're the new Adam.
Like, unfortunately, I love my family. They're amazing. I don't think they have what it takes to survive the apocalypse.
Why not?
Well, I got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. Dear God, I can't keep these kids quiet. So if it's zombies or something like that, these kids are going to be like, oh, zombies. Hey, zombies. Oh, creepy. And then, you know, that's that.
Yep.
My 3-year-old doesn't know how to swim.
Yeah.
So, you know, my wife being the virtuous person she is, she's going to try to save both of them. And yep. I'm going to, if I help too,
yeah,
someone. We're all going to get caught up in the tidal wave shark attack.
Yep.
You know? So I just have resigned.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if this thing happens, the Doomlau line, that's that.
Yeah.
I don't know. If it's zombies or something like that, these slow zombies, I think we're good.
Yeah.
I'm just going to drive north, go up to Canada.
Is Canada safe?
Safer. There's so many less people.
No.
That's fact. Truly.
No.
Yeah.
You're just driving north, bro. They're not going to even let you in the border.
No, you think that they're going to be able to stop me? I've gone over that border 40 times in my life.
Yeah, legally.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they got checkpoints freaking 100 miles away from each other. I can sneak across the border with my bro, kids.
I'm legitimately trying to imagine this, and it's the funniest crap right on. This is amazing. Yeah.
Look, and they're nice. Yeah. Yeah, come on in, guys. It's the apocalypse. Like, I don't know what accent that was.
Yeah.
But.
Do we know of any Canadians?
Yeah, I have family in Canada.
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
What part?
In Victoria.
Okay.
In Vancouver.
Okay.
And all the way up into Fort St. John.
Yeah.
Which is, like, one of the last inhabited, the most northern places.
Yeah. You know, I just met another Filipino.
Really?
Guy that has... That is actually has family in Vancouver right now. And we were talking about.
There's a large Asian community in the Pacific Northwest.
In Vancouver.
In Vancouver, yeah. Seattle, Vancouver, Portland.
Let's go. Shout out Vancouver. Vancouver, and shout Washington. Out to all my Filipinos. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Like, I would say the Hispanic population in LA.
Yeah.
If you were to make that the ratio of that population Asian.
Yep.
That's the Northwest.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. A lot of Asian food joints.
Yep.
A lot, I mean, oh.
Good sushi.
Good sushi, good teriyaki.
Okay.
See, California doesn't know what teriyaki is.
They think they do.
LA doesn't know. They think Panda Express is teriyaki.
Yeah.
Nah.
We're not going there and ordering a teriyaki bowl.
No.
Shout out to Robert Osborne, who goes to Sushi Stop and orders a teriyaki bowl and believes that teriyaki bowl is...
Nah.
Obviously amazing.
That ain't teriyaki.
That ain't it.
Teriyaki is an Americanized version of all sorts of Asian cuisine.
Yeah.
You go to a good teriyaki joint and they got Chinese food, yep. Japanese food, some Vietnamese stuff in there. It's like
a
cheesecake factory size menu of Asian they just foods. Go, look,
yeah.
They go, Americans don't know what Asian food is, so let's just put all this on one menu and call it teriyaki. And they're like, all right, here we go. Put a packet of MSG in there, and we're off to the races.
Dude, anytime I eat, like, Asian food,
yeah,
tons of MSG in it, dude, yeah. I leave feeling so bloated.
Oh.
And I puff up like crazy. You can tell when I have bad food.
Oh, dude. You know, they just did all these things. They came out that MSG is not bad for you.
Stop.
It's like salt. So, like, if you put too much in it,
yeah,
it's bad for you.
Okay.
Right? But, like, salt isn't horrible for you unless you're just, like, going crazy with it, right?
I love salty food.
But the reason why MSG has such a bad rap is it's based out of racism. All these Asian Americans started these restaurants, and they were taking business away from American, a la white business owners.
Yep.
And so one of the ways that they stopped them from going there is they use MSG, which is horrible. It causes cancer. It's, you know.
And, of course, it's fear-driven based, and so people are scared and they stop going.
Exactly. But not me.
I'm in there.
I'm up in there. Give me that MSG, Poppy. No.
And we're not talking about Madison Square Garden people.
Have you been?
No, I've never been to
I've always wanted to go to Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
If you were to see a sporting event or concert, like you can go to MSG one time in your life. What event are you there for?
Probably a Knicks game.
A Knicks game?
Or some kind of crazy concert.
Like a championship Knicks game or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, A few years ago, I was able to go to the Lakers game. We had some really cool seats, and it was a crazy. Honestly, like I would say, there are a few like experiences that like I can like remember for a long time, and I would say that was an experience that I would probably remember for a really long time, bro. There's nothing more iconic than like a crazy like a team like the Lakers, you know, who isn't obviously like such a crazy household name, you know, like
yeah,
they're forever good.
Yeah, yeah.
How?
Well, yeah,
you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're associated with the best
of the best.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
And so I remember sitting at the seat, and I'm just like, I cannot believe I'm actually here.
It's like, that's one of those LA moments where you're like, yes, dude, I can't believe.
I feel like for the Madison Square Garden, like I feel like if you were there for like a championship game, or I feel like just in general, iconic, like having like a courtside seat at a Knicks game.
Yeah.
That's, you're checking that off the list, bro.
I wish I could have seen like Muhammad Ali or Mike Tyson fight at Madison Square Garden. Like that would have been.
Sold out arena.
That would have been all time, bro.
Yeah.
When the UFC first went there for one of their events, like, dude, something about, have you ever been to a fighting event? Like UFC or boxing or?
No, I'm
dude.
No. I think like the closest I've ever been to was a high school wrestling match.
Oh, Lord. One of the most just.
But, you know, check us out. I graduated in 2008.
Yep, same.
There was a guy named Jamal Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Who graduated from my my same high school.
Jamal.
You're so dumb. Dude, he's actually pro. MMA fighter, and he has a title belt that he's fighting for this upcoming year.
For what promotion? Do you know?
I don't watch MMA, so I don't know fully like that.
That's but so cool.
But this kid, bro. Listen, I used to play basketball with this guy. His brother, Jamal. His older... His brother Jermaine was on team in the same grade.
Jermaine.
Jermaine. And I never called him Jermaine, but I called him Jay at one point, I'm sure. But, bro, this guy, he's 11-1. Sorry, you know what? I don't know if he actually has even... No, he has lost one match. 11-1 in MMA pro fighting.
Wow.
Back in the day, I may have stepped up.
Yep.
And, you know, just... Now I'm like... Not a chance.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to go down like that.
Yeah.
I'm not getting hit in the head and just end my life.
Yeah. I want to. Not get hit in the head in my
life.
If
you were to go MMA pro, you know, you spend 3 years in fighting, okay?
3 years.
3 years in fighting. What's your record?
From my pro record?
Yep.
3 years in fighting... 3 years in fighting pro or like, or it.
Sorry, you take the first year and you're like, you're training. 2 years into this whole thing.
I'd probably be like 6-3.
6-3?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident.
What weight class would you train? Would you be fighting in?
I would need to drop down into like
160.
No.
70.
Like, I'll try to fight at 155.
155? Mm-hmm. Bro, that's insane.
That's lightweight. I'd walk around 170 and then cut down to 155.
Bro, like, the guys who, I remember throughout high school, the guys who could cut, like, the most weight were wrestlers. Like, they would have to, like, I remember there's just, I had friends that were, like, wrestling. And they're like, oh, we got to make weight. Bro, these guys would, like, train and, like, they're all, like, this... The hoodies and sweatshirts and wouldn't eat, would drink water all day.
Right.
And then the next morning, they're like, oh, yeah, we made weight. Let's go.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, dude, that, the type of training that goes into
the
fighting.
The discipline of it.
The discipline. The,
it's crazy.
What are we talking about?
Yep.
Unless I'm getting paid a lot of money. I don't know. Dude, and even still then, I just wouldn't. I'm a punk these days. I just. Don't like pain.
After we talked about doing hard things.
I like the right kind of pain, sure, but I just don't want to voluntarily just train for something knowing that I could get knocked out.
Look, I've sparred and, you know, I've never gotten, like, into a real fight before in a sense. Like, I've never, like lost my cool or been put in a situation like that. I've always like found my way out or, you know, distanced myself or whatever it is. But like in sparring and stuff, there's something so satisfying. It's like a chess game, really. You know, it's like about figuring out your opponent and finding your angles and, you know, hitting a takedown. Or, you know, if you're sparring MMA or jiu-jitsu or wrestling or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, big combat sports guy over here. Oh, yeah. Dad to try combat sports.
You were doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu for a while.
Yep, BJJ.
Yep.
You
loved it.
I love it. Yeah, I still do.
Yep.
Dude,
I think it's good.
Boxing, Muay Thai, love all that stuff.
Yeah. Dude, I have a buddy right now that his dad was...
J-Mall?
Nope. David Chan.
Oh, D-Chan.
D-Chan. Mm-hmm. We actually called him D-Chan.
That's fire.
We did.
That's fire.
And his dad owned a kung fu school, but his there was like several different teachers in there. Mm. And there's a guy that trained for Muay Thai. And I did it for like 8 weeks. And training was actually very hard. Bro, this guy...
Yeah.
Dropped me in like 5 seconds. I remember he's like 80.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh gosh. And I remember I was probably in my mid-20s at that time. And I'm like, dude, give me a different sparring partner. I'm going to knock this guy out. Well, dude, you know, the guy's like, go. Yeah, bro, probably down on the ground in like 10 seconds. I didn't even have a chance to even really think about what I was going to do.
Yeah.
This guy just came and got me, bro. So it's like, dude, don't mess with people.
Don't mess with people.
Don't mess with people.
Don't mess with Stanley.
Don't mess with Stanley.
Since 1913.
Shout out to Stanley since 1913.
All right, we love you guys. This has been episode 32. Again, thank you so much for reviewing, for sharing. We, you know, I think we just started averaging over 1,000 listens per episode, which is, and just, you guys, it's insane. So thank you so much. And, continue to keep trying. I think that's all we can do as dads.
Yeah, I love that. And with that said, have a great day.
Hey, this is Dads Who Try, dog. This is Dads Who Try. Team no sleep, baby. Dads Who Try.